Good morning and welcome to Worship at the Table. We know it's a very, well, right now it's beautiful outside, but it was a very blustery, windy night, and that people might be taking, you know, a couple extra minutes navigating the roads coming in, but we're so glad that we're gathered here this morning, and we'll go ahead and just kind of ease into worship this morning. My name is Chloe McKellier. I'm the cultivator for a sustainable future here at our community of faith. And our co-pastors, Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda, are not with us this morning. Pastor Matt is away with family on a much well-deserved vacation along the coast this week. And Pastor Linda is online with us this morning. So hello, Pastor Linda. She is continuing to just be phenomenal and to recover as she moves through chemo treatments right now. So, in lieu of Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda, we are really excited to welcome Bishop Warner Brown this morning as our guest preacher. So I can tell that he is a stranger to all of you. But for those of you who maybe have not had the privilege or opportunity to meet Bishop Brown before, he worships with us online on occasion. It's always wonderful to see his presence there. And he has also been both a mentor and support for our co-pastors, really in the starting of the table. Bishop Brown was the bishop in this region when the table was first planted in 2010. He is serving now while in retirement as an interim bishop of the Sierra Leone Episcopal Area in the West Africa Central Conference of the United Methodist Church. So it's really, really special to have you here with us today. At this time, I just invite you to take a deep breath. Noticing we have some really special volunteers who are helping us light all the candles this morning. So just kind of maybe bringing in some of the candlelight, some of the light streaming through the stained glass for us here in the sanctuary, or if you're at home, maybe lighting a candle in your space. And we're going to settle into the beauty of this moment. It's really strange. I don't know if it's strange. Okay, so Pastor Linda and Pastor Matt decided to do a three-week worship series over the next 3 weeks called Been in the about storms, Yes to the Mess. And so totally not appropriate time-wise, right? So we're going to start this morning with a song from Rinky Tanky called Been in the Storm. And we have...
storm so long, Lord, I've been in the storm so long, saying, oh, Lord, give me more time to pray, you know. So very long, it is needed time, singing this is needed time, singing out. Give me more time to pray. You know I've been in the storm so long. Oh. to try and hide. Singing this is a try and hide. Sing it out, Lord. Give me more time to pray. You know I've been.
Have you been watching the birds? The storm clouds gathered beyond vision. Each morning, their form followed equally invisible instructions, pressing forward and letting back, always together, orchestrating movement with some clear destination or force. Drawing her collective heart forward. Sometimes my knowing forgets wisdom. Sometimes what makes sense falls out with what is. Sometimes all I can do is collapse into or embrace. Ritual. To find form in the chaos, to trace emergence out of sinking dirt and upended roots, and plunge into the underground ocean. This is the heartwork of the storm. This is the baptism of the heart. Did he learn this from woodworking? Did he trace the patterns of the universe in the rings of trunk? Did he carve out possibility, functionality from the generosity of tree, stable in their flexibility, living by the waters of grace? So when his cousin could only see sense in old order, in greater blessing lesser, this one broke open the heavens and love rained down. Should the storm come, will I wrestle out a blessing? Should the waters break, will you be there with life? sweet, tender, beloved one. The heart beats by charge and pulses with water.
Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be back. I'm going back home. I tell you, I'm going back home now. Going back home. Can't stay no longer. So I'm going back home. To be baptized.
I see we all survived the storm today. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I am our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We are grateful to be together this morning as we begin a new series, three-week series, called Yes to the Mess. I would like to again welcome and thank Bishop Brown for leading us today. For those of us gathering online at table.live, both Bob and Pastor Linda are with you as our hosts this morning. Please message them in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. When you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life here, more about how we share life together here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith series will be held on Sunday afternoon and will begin January 22. Learn more and sign up online at tableumc.org. So as you're all walking in this morning, you would have seen three tables or three different tables that is set out. And I do want to talk about those beautiful tables. The first one is our coffee, which many of you would know that we have great coffee, which is specialty coffee that we get. And you can always bring that coffee in. And I would like to thank those who volunteers all most of the time, or those who comes early morning and make that coffee. And we make it with love. Then we have the next step table, which is we have the Growing in Faith book. And then we have the shirts for you to all buy. And Growing in Faith, when you sign up, you'll get that booklet or book. And then we have the table bread. I walked in here on Friday, and I saw Chloe in the kitchen. And then I did ask her that, are you coming tomorrow? And I think she was here yesterday. I would say Friday. I'm right now in Friday. So she was here yesterday. So, and the bread, when you walk in, this morning when I walked in, it smells so warm and so yummy. And then I forgot about the storm that happened last night. So we have table bread, which is selling bread for all of you, which is amazing flavored, and we have tasted it so many times that now I could say it tastes really good. And it's out there for you all to buy, and it runs out really quick. I have already placed my order, which they have it for me. It runs out really quick. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing a song which reminds us that God sees each of us as we beloved child. This song is called Worthy.
I know exactly what you're had those thoughts a million times. I can see the question that's behind your eyes. Oh, you're searching for your peace of mind. Now listen up to this truth. You and me and I am here. Every one of us is worthy. Baby, child, worthy one. Every one of us is worthy. Your pain, I know your joys and your shames. Sometimes it feels like life takes over you, like you're a penny on the ground. But either on the crown or in your purse, the smallest piece still holds its worth. Every one of us is worthy. Baby, child, worthy one. Every one of us is worthy. So listen up to this truth.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, every one of us is worthy. That was perfect. At this time, I want to invite our children to move with our teachers upstairs to our Godly Play Sanctuary as our musicians help us with some walking music. There we go. Godly Play is our ministry with children on Sunday mornings. Storytellers share stories from Scripture and invite children to wonder about the mystery and love of God. While we have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame, throughout worship, Godly Play is designed for children that are in elementary school. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and we invite you to follow along. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
Good morning, table. It is a joy to be with you this day. And good morning to the virtual congregation online. I am often sitting among you. I feel like I have some pretty big shoes to fill this morning. I've been here before, but at least I've had either Matt or Linda here to keep me on the right track. Thank goodness for Chloe. I thank you for her. She's a gem. And I'm grateful for this fabulous band, for all the volunteers, for Corey and all the volunteers, Sunit. And thank you for the folks that made the coffee. This message is caffeine fueled. It is also reassuring to know that Pastor Linda is watching online. Linda, we love you. And I can hear her reassuring me, "You can't mess it up." So I guess we better begin. I love that scripture lesson. The version that I read closes with this phrase. I'm just going to repeat. The voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." I thank Matt and Linda for this theme, "Yes to the Mess." Today, it seems especially appropriate as I had to change my route three different times and navigate so many trees and streets I'd never been on to get here. Yes to the mess. The title for my message this morning is inspired by my youngest son. When we moved as a family, my wife, three children, a teenage daughter, and two young boys, into this big house as I became the senior pastor of a church in Oakland, I'd been the district superintendent in San Francisco and was changing jobs because running around as a superintendent is too much when you got two young kids. So we went to the church, and wonderful church. And the church house was a beautiful, marvelous house. But unfortunately, my predecessor, the previous pastor, had bought his home a long time ago, and that house had been rented out for a lot of years. It needed a lot of love. And so as we were living in the house, the church organized itself, and about the second year in, sometimes they started major work to fix doors that didn't close right and make other repairs and fix windows that leaked too much air and fix walls and paint and stuff, and it was a big project. One of the things I was especially proud of is this was going to create the possibility of turning a little sitting room into an extra bedroom so that our youngest one, who was about 3-4 years old at that point, could have his own room. Because he and his brother were less than 2 years apart, and they did not always see eye to eye. I say that subtly. So I proudly brought him into the house one day. The doors had been built for his new room, and I wanted so much to show him. And I led him into the house, and we came up the steps towards the second floor. And about to point him to his new bedroom as I smiled. And he paused with a worried look on his face and looked at me and looked around. And simply this 3, and maybe he was 4, but I'm not sure, he just said, "Who's gonna clean up this mess?"
He was always a bit precocious.
Well, that's my question for us this morning. Who's going to clean up this mess? For clearly, we don't have to look very far to see that our world is a mess in so many ways. And even on the good days, we look around and sometimes our lives are a mess. Our gospel lesson this morning takes us to the shore of the Jordan River, where John is proclaiming the message that the world is in a mess. Oh, he knew what he was talking about. And everyone should repent. And he was offering baptism to those who do. That repentance is turning away from the evil that we are complicit in, that we're participating in, and turning towards the ways of God. Then John promised that God is sending someone greater than him to lead the way out of the mess. Oh, he was having a good time proclaiming that message. Then when Jesus presented himself for baptism to John, the baptizer was paralyzed by his limiting beliefs. "I'm not qualified," is the message John gives as he tries to wave off Jesus. "You want me to do something? Oh, no, no, no. Too busy." You may have heard that one. "You should be baptizing me." But Jesus asked him to allow me to be baptized now. "This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." I love Jesus' graciousness. He didn't say, "Look, I'm Jesus, you know all about me, do what you're told." No, it wasn't his style. "Allow me. You have a choice. You have a choice." John has a role to play in this drama, and he has agency to decide if, when, and how he will participate. That continues to be the way the baptism sacrament is lived
out today. God offers this gift of love and acceptance. The recipient decides if, when, and how they will respond. And the community of the faithful, that's us, witnessing the blessing, live out our faith in the community and encourage and support the baptized on their journey of faith. The action of baptism is an outward sign signifying our commitment to a relationship between us and the person, between the person and God, and the community of God's people. May those relationships that each of us have sustain you when you find yourself in a mess, and help you to be a part of the answer to my son's question. Who's going to clean up this mess? Has anyone in this room ever found yourself in a mess? You give me a sign. And for those in the virtual congregation, please put a note in the chat. I see you out there. You've been there too. I could have put up both hands. Sometimes we are into the mess and don't even know it. Debbie Thomas, in her book, Into the Mess and Other Jesus Stories, shares some stories you might want to remember. For example, in choosing Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father, God leads a righteous man with an impeccable reputation straight into doubt, shame, scandal, and controversy. God's call requires Joseph to reorder everything he thinks he knows about fairness, justice, goodness, purity. It requires him to become the talk of the town, and not in a good way. It requires him to embrace a mess. And it's a mess he's not created. It requires him to love a woman whose story doesn't quite add up. It requires him to protect a baby he didn't father, to accept as his heir a son who is not his son. In other words, God's messy plan of salvation requires Joseph, a quiet, cautious, status quo kind of guy, to choose precisely what he fears and dreads most. The fraught, the complicated, the suspicious, and inexplicable. So much for a well-ordered life. I learned a long time ago never to say what I can't do. I learned that the first time I honestly said, oh, that situation, so I would never do that. God laughed, and I was in it before I knew it. Debbie Thomas continues with another one of her stories and another part really related to this same story. No wonder the angel Gabriel's first words to Joseph are, "Do not be afraid." That does help. If we want to enter into God's messy story, then perhaps these are the first words we need to hear too. Do not be afraid, when God's work in your life looks alarmingly different than you thought it would. Do not be afraid when God upends your cherished assumptions about piety and faithfulness. Do not be afraid when God asks you to stand alongside the scandalous, the defiled, the suspected, and the shamed. Do not be afraid when God asks you to love something or someone more than your spotless reputation. Do not be afraid when your role in the story feels minor and the spotlight of fame and fortune doesn't land on you. Do not be afraid of the precarious, the fragile, the vulnerable, the impossible. Do not be afraid of the mess. Embrace it. The mess is where God enters the world. God was there when each of us were born, is with us through all of our life. Each of us is given God's affirmation that this is my beloved child. I find happiness in them. God loves us unconditionally and invites us to trust enough to believe that and love God in return. Then God challenges us to see the image of God in ourselves and in each other so that we develop a healthy love for ourselves and for our neighbors. In fact, all of us are invited to be co-workers with God and God's people in transforming the world day by day in all the ways we find the courage and resilience to go into the mess and through the mess as we await the reign of the God of love to be fully revealed on this earth. Do not be afraid. All things are possible through God who loves us. Following Jesus' baptism story, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke tell in their own way the story of Jesus being driven into the wilderness right after God blesses him when he comes out of the river following his baptism. So into the mess he goes right away. Perhaps we can learn from him as we face our own messes. The wilderness that Jesus entered, as Mark tells the story, had wild animals in it and was barren. But then Mark says the comforting word that angels were there to look after him. Well, I find that camping out and being in the woods at night, where the wild animals sometimes are, can include some interesting sounds that interrupt sleep. And mornings discover that you've had visitors in your camp. But the good news is, in the Jesus' journey to the wilderness, no wild animals were harmed. Jesus wasn't harmed. He was tempted and challenged and confronted by the evil one who sought to change the course of his life and tempt him with all kinds of nonsense and lies to do the very thing that was counter to his best interest or what God calls him and us to do. And the temptations were so attractive that some people would have fallen for that nonsense. But Jesus had the courage and the resilience to press through. And after staying in that wilderness for a long time, he developed some courage and boldness that he came out of the wilderness ready to live a life of purpose and mission to redeem the world, to clean up the mess. There are other wilderness stories we might know. Last year, I had the blessed opportunity to visit another wilderness. It was in South Africa. The name of that wilderness is Robben Island. That is the place where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for so many years. We toured the island, we saw his cell, we saw the things that happened in the grounds and heard stories of the place, and I had the chance to have an extended conversation with our guide, who was himself a person who had been imprisoned in that place. Robben Island is different from most prisons, for no one at Robben Island was there for doing what we would call crime. They were there for having the courage to say no to oppression, to stand up to the oppressive apartheid that privileged some people over other people and used horrible force to try to pound people into believing and accepting that as if it were true, that some people are better than other people and some people are not worthy of the basic elements of life. And for those who insisted on saying no, they had a place for them at Robben Island. Bear with me. Recognizing the different ways in our world that the lie attempts to triumph over God's truth, that everyone is worthy, everyone deserves love, and everyone has a place at the table. And we are those who have been invited into the covenant through our baptism to say that we accept the fact that we have the agency, the power, to defeat evil, to challenge it in every way we can, to not subject ourselves to wickedness and stand up and say no to the top of our voice in every way and any way we can. This is the work we're called to. This is at the heart of cleaning up all the messes we will discover, that sees the beauty of God in each person, including ourselves, and honors that. John O'Donohue, in his book, To Bless the Space Between Us, says this: each life is a mystery that is never finally available to the mind's light or questions. That we are here is a huge affirmation. Somehow life needed us and wanted us to be. To sense and trust this primeval acceptance can open a vast spring of trust within the heart. It can free us into a natural courage that casts out fear and opens up our lives to become voyages of discovery, creativity, and compassion. No threshold need be a threat, but rather an invitation and a promise. Whatever comes, the great sacrament of life will remain faithful to us, blessing us always with visible signs of invisible grace. We merely need to trust. We merely need to trust. We merely need to let our love free. Maya Angelou said it this way: love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope. That is the call to each of us. As we begin this new year, let us covenant with each other that the mess will not scare us off. Let's move into the mess. Let's be those who set out to clean up the mess. We have the work of Christmas to continue. As the mystic poet, philosopher, and theologian Howard Thurman reminds us of the true meaning of Christmas in his poem entitled, "The Work of Christmas." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are gone home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. To the mess. Amen.
Bear with me as I go through the mess here.
You can't mess it up. All right. Cheryl.
Thank you. Frederick Buechner shared this about Jesus. He never approached from on high, but always in the midst of people, in the midst of real life, and the questions that real life asks. Jesus waded with John into the real life of those gathered along the River Jordan. In the midst of the mess, those waters, a voice proclaimed, "You are my beloved." And Jesus would devote his life to reminding us that we are all beloved. Jesus welcomes the real life, even the mess of our own lives, to the table. And so we pause as we transition to this time of communion to acknowledge some of the mess by sharing together with one voice what the church calls a prayer of confession. So let us pray with the words on the screen in front of you. Holy One, we confess our need for grace and mercy. We seek forgiveness for the ways in which we have drawn away from you and our neighbors. We express remorse for our participation in the systems of the world that are actively opposed to your kingdom. Transform us to be carriers and promoters of your good news of new life, liberation, and hope in the world. Amen. Friends, the God of peace is faithful to offer forgiveness and new life amid the mess we make in the world. Receive the good news of new mercies with each new day and a future with hope.
Let us join now in the call and response which has become the way of the church throughout the generations to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son, the body.
Let us pray together using the words Jesus taught his disciples and which have been formed and reformed through the generations. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear to your heart.
Father God, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in the heavens. Give us this day our daily bread. Pour out your Spirit on us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ. Make us through them, Christ's body, alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. All means all, so we encourage those at home to gather bread and juice or whatever you might have nearby and to share with us in this sacred time of breaking bread. For those of us who are here in the sanctuary, we will move outside during this time of communion, and there's tables in the back in the courtyard. Sarneet will guide us by inviting row by row to move outside. We are all God's children, and this is God's table. In short, you cannot make a mistake, as Bishop Brown reminded us. While the practice of breaking bread is central for many of us, and we do it on a regular basis, for some of us, it's the very first time. And for some of us, we're somewhere in the middle of that. And communion can bring up lots of different feelings, depending on just what your own experience and story is. So we want to honor that and just hold space for whatever it is you're bringing today and whatever this time is for you. We hope that you'll feel welcomed to participate and to trust that God sees you as beloved and as welcome now and always at God's table.
This is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
If you are at a prayer station, please take as long as feels right. And we're going to just close in prayer. Loving God, may your abundant grace continue to sustain us in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup. May your love connect us and send us as peacemakers and as justice makers as we go into the world today. Amen. Amen. As we move from this place, we invite just a time for a response to the generosity of God, and that might look many different ways for you, whether it's considering a way to continue to participate and dive into the life of this community, whether it's responding out in the world through service or through finances and gifts. We just encourage you to reflect and to respond in the way that feels right to you. At this time, as we prepare for sending forth, we hope that those online will consider logging in and going now to a virtual row to connect with others. And again, Bob Losbergzahl and Pastor Linda are with you there and would love to connect for a few minutes. And we realize that that can be vulnerable. We know that all of us, we joke that we're not always in our Sunday attire when we're online, so you do what you need to do. And Sarneet will be out at our next steps table for those who are here in the sanctuary. At this time, I invite you to stand as you're able and willing, and we will send off today with the song, Fear Not.
As you head into the mass, you are loved. Look around. You are not alone. The God of our salvation sends angels to be with us and all around. We may not recognize them, because angels don't look like we expect, but they're there. So when you go into the mast, be assured the Spirit of the God of love and life will equip you so that you are adequate to the task you're called to do. So live in hope, live in faith, live in love. Go into the mast and fear not.